In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I read recently about something that I'd never heard of before, and I'm guessing that some of you have, but it was rather amazing. And it's called the Waterfall Dance. And the Waterfall Dance was observed by Jane Goodall, who spent her life studying primates. And the waterfall dance is this. It's chimpanzees coming upon a waterfall, and they're so amazed by it that they don't even know how to react. It's something that is so foreign to their usual experience that they start doing things that are exceptional, like jumping and sitting in the water, which a chimpanzee would never do, or throwing rocks, or hammering rocks, or even doing a little dance. Amazing. Apparently, chimpanzees have the same reaction to heavy rainfalls because they're unaccustomed to heavy rainfalls. But waterfalls definitely bring this out in them. And I wanted to begin this morning because if we think about how those chimpanzees react when they see a waterfall, that's a pretty good way to describe what it feels like to be awed. That emotion of awe, what is it exactly? We know what it feels like when we walk into a beautiful church, perhaps on a gorgeous day when we have a wonderful vista that we can watch the sunset. But what exactly, if somebody were to say to you, what is awe? Give me a definition. You'd say, well, I guess it's chimpanzees dancing around when they see a waterfall. Now, I don't in any way mean to compare chimpanzee awe with human awe. We know that we are different. Even though they say that we have 99% of our genetic material in common with chimpanzees, that 1% difference is a huge difference. It makes us unique. It makes us the creature that has a natural inclination towards God. Even our brains are different so that we can have that inclination towards God. And it is the reason that God became man to save the cosmos. God did not become any other animal to save the cosmos. He became a man to save the cosmos because you and I are unique, made in God's image and likeness. I read about the waterfall dance when reading some things by a young journalist. I think he's young. His name is Brandon Ambrosino, or Ambrosino. It's an S. I'm not sure how he pronounces it. But Brandon Ambrosino is a Christian who writes very interesting pieces about Christianity from a unique perspective. If you want to read some of his articles, I don't mean to sound pretentious, you know I'm not pretentious at all, but if you want to read some of his articles, bbc.com will feature them occasionally. But you can find him anywhere on the internet. And in reading some of the things by Brandon, he uniquely identifies human elements that demonstrate your tendency and my tendency towards religion, like awe, like this whole business of what it means to be awed. He's the one where I read about this waterfall dance. Well, Brandon writes about some other aspects of our human tendency towards God. One is the social nature of religion as we understand it. When religion began, religion was a practice of shamans, of the wise person in the village to whom people would go to for advice or even some sort of a prayer or a chant. But then as humans had more interchange between societies, religion itself becomes a social phenomenon where ideas about religion are exchanged between populations and where a standard group of teachings begins to emerge. There's a more structured form, if you will. And this idea of religion as a social phenomenon really has its fulfillment in Christianity. Because we are the body of Christ. And while certainly all social gatherings have at their center, one way or another, the gathering at table, it is our gathering at table that surpasses and exceeds any other gathering at table because we gather for the Eucharist. We gather for the Eucharist. And so, So when we approach the chalice, it really matters because it affirms our connectedness. And if we avoid the chalice, we are really avoiding the fundamental social connection that is bred into each one of us naturally because we are in the image and likeness of God. Ed Brandon writes about ritual and its importance, and he calls ritual organized play. And back to the animal kingdom, he says, look at two dogs before they play with each other. The first thing they do is they kind of do a little bowing motion. If you've ever played with a dog, you know what that's like. That is the way of signaling that what we're about to do is play. Don't take it too seriously. Those of us who are in the business of writing religious education curriculum, we know that play is an important part of that. Every time I write, I just finished writing the lessons for summer camp, for our summer camp in the metropolis. Every lesson begins with something that's fun, something that is play-oriented, even if it's not a game per se, it might be a skit or something. And why is that? Because it activates the best part of us. The best part of you and of me is not the part of us that we use to solve math problems. The best part of you and of me is that part of us that we call being childlike. That part of us that likes to play. Because when I am childlike, I can really open my heart up to God. And so we would call what we just did, this divine liturgy, organized play from the perspective of Brandon, and I agree with that. This ritual is designed for us to open our hearts to God, for us to become children again. Now, why bring all this up now on this particular Sunday? Well, this past Thursday was the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord, and the Feast of the Ascension above every other feast affirms that Jesus is God. Jesus is co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit. He is the pre-eternal God with the Father and the Spirit. And today, the Sunday of the 318 Fathers of the First Ecumenical Synod, is a day that affirms that teaching, because in the First Ecumenical Synod, the first great heresy of the Church, Arianism, was rejected. This idea that Jesus was not fully God, that he became God later. And so it is no accident that the Church in her wisdom appoints this Sunday as the Sunday of commemorating those fathers, because Ascension is the feast that affirms the divinity of Jesus, and the First Ecumenical Synod doubly affirms that divinity. But I also wanted to bring up this idea of awe and of the social nature of religion and of religious ritual as organized play. I wanted to bring it up today because I think it's important to think about these things when we consider the state of Christianity today and the state of the Church, the state of the Orthodox Church even. Because when it comes to how we are living out our Christianity in the modern Western world, we have to ask ourselves, how are we really doing when it comes to awe? Are we being awed? Are we awing others? How are we really doing when it comes to proclaiming our connectedness through the Eucharist and even living out that reality ourselves? How are you and I doing when it comes to knowing and then practicing our ritual? And I think that there are a lot of churches that aren't doing very well in those three areas. They're not awing a lot of people. They're not very connected. And their ritual is boring, and people don't know what's going on anyway. And I think that that's one of the reasons Christianity is in trouble in the Western culture. The people whom we describe as SBNRs, spiritual but not religious, they didn't come out of nowhere. A lot of them used to go to churches, but their churches where they weren't being awed, where they weren't connected, and where their ritual was flat. And so I think these three concepts, awe, societal connectedness, and ritual, have a lot to say for us when it when it just comes about, it comes to our worship. Ask ourselves what these three things mean for you and for me right now with our worship. Right now, we are almost finishing Divine Liturgy. So if we consider what happened right here in this space this morning, was there a sense of awe? Did you feel awed? Was the people awed? Was there awe around us? Did we feel a sense of being connected to one another? Did we receive the Eucharist, knowing that when we do so, it binds us to one another in a way that nothing else can? It unites us. And when it just comes to being societal, are we ready to go downstairs and spend a few moments in fellowship? Because the fellowship and the eating that we do together after liturgy is nothing to be taken too lightly, because as we pointed out before, when you read the Bible, there's not a lot in there about playing basketball together or doing anything like that, but there's a whole lot in there about eating together. Eating together is very important. And then when we consider what we've done this morning together, what about our ritual, our Orthodox ritual? Did it have an effect on us? Did it evoke a sense of play, of childlikeness in us? And if it didn't, perhaps one of the reasons is we need to understand our liturgy, our worship, a little bit better so that we can plug into it. Sometimes I'm afraid that we come to liturgy a lot like a person from a foreign country being brought to his first baseball game. And he probably thinks to himself, well, that's really interesting, but what just happened? But we shouldn't be that way with liturgy. This is our defining act. This is our ritual. Yes, our playful ritual, but our ritual, and we should know it. And I would submit that this business of awe and of connectedness of our ritual, it has a lot to say with how it is that we approach mission. Because we live in a world that longs for awe. We live in a world that even though they have lots of great technological toys, people are really kind of bored. We live in a world that longs for social connectedness. And we know that no social media can ever take the place of that. And that's why isolation and loneliness is one of the great afflictions of our modern age. And I would submit we live in a world that desires ritual. And people will search out ritual when it's not offered to them, but the rituals that go along with the warm-up before your workout or any other such thing are nothing compared with the ritual that we have when we celebrate Divine Liturgy. God made us that way, to long for awe and to social connectedness and for ritual. So the people of the world want it. So what are we doing as a church? What are we doing as a parish? Let the world know that we've got what they want. God made you to be awed and to be connected and to want ritual, and we have it for you. We need to share that with people. And when people walk in our doors for the first time, is that really what they're feeling? I think it is. We need to make sure that everybody who walks in the door knows that this is a space filled with people who are awed and who are connected and view their ritual the way children view playing their favorite game. Our proclamation today, a couple of days after the Ascension on the Sunday of the 318 Fathers, our proclamation today is that Jesus is fully God. And we need to proclaim this and understand this, because otherwise the incarnation, the crucifixion, and the resurrection have no sense, no meaning, and no saving power. For those of us who are being saved, you and I, we know that Jesus being fully God is the essential fundamental teaching of our church, because it is what enables us to be saved. And to that all we can say is amen. And so since you and I know that this is true, that Jesus is fully God, that he came to save us, that he is saving us, shouldn't we do our absolute most to live as social beings within the context of this parish, within the context of the greater church? Shouldn't we do our best to avoid isolation and estrangement, to put away petty differences, and to approach the chalice as often as possible with the fear of God, with faith, and with love? Shouldn't we strive to become familiar with our ritual so that it is not something foreign to us? Or worse yet, God forbid, so that our ritual isn't drudgery. Instead, if we are familiar with our ritual, we know what it is. It's organized play. Organized play that activates the best part of us, that childlike part of us. And shouldn't we be able to look at the waterfall dance of those chimpanzees and say, you know what? I get it. That's how I feel when I walk into church. That's how I feel when I say the name Jesus. That's how I feel when I stand before my icons and pray. If we could live this way, if we could feel this way, wouldn't that be awesome?